my problem with this is like people will hype this up and they're like, oh my God, it's so fucking amazing. It's like a 9 out of 10 on my anime list or whatever. And like, as a premise for a romance, it's the most basic bare bones shit.
Oh, it's incredibly basic.
Is it Takapi Shoge a second season? I was like, what do you mean? It's not done yet. Or he's like, well, yeah, I know. But I got caught up with the anime and it's like probably like my sixth favorite anime.
I was like, no, it's going to end in 3 episodes. There's not going to be a second season. You're lucky there's going to be a happy ending.
The problem, I don't know. I don't know if there is or not.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. I think there will be like a happy ending, you know, like a bittersweet ending or something.
You know, that could act as a good transition to talking about seasonals.
Hello and welcome to the Weeb Crew. I'm your host, Psyotic. Let me say the rest of the intro.
Hello, I'm Psyotic. I don't want to. Join with
like,
me today.
It's like, yes, you are Psyotic. Yeah, cool. You remembered your name. Good job. And like, you're just patronizing me. And I'm just like, what's my name? What's my name again?
Who
are you?
And I'm Mumi, the co-host that's always here, never miss an episode.
Are you talking to me? What?
You're acting like every Blink 182 fan. We all have dementia now.
What's my name again?
I'm acting like the Trump administration with the Jeffrey Epstein files. Oh, that's a topical joke that will date this episode in,
how does it really date this episode when we're talking about the shows that are currently airing, specifically the first episode? I think that already enough.
Yeah, we'll forget about the Epstein stuff because we'll just bomb another country and that'll be fun. On top of that,
listen, they're going by the social media rule of like 48 hours and people will forget all about it.
Honestly, you know what? Yeah. And that's the same goes for anime because I've already literally forgotten everything. What did we talk about last season? What did we watch?
We watched Gurren Lagann.
It's really fun. It is kind of funny how and I guess this is something everyone's kind of talked about is like, the start of like every season, once it ends, people are just kind of like, all right, we're done. We don't need to discuss it any further. New things are airing now and they demand our full attention. So we're going to forget everything else and focus on the new shit now.
I will not remember a single show that aired last week because it is now a new season.
It's been like 2 weeks now, I think.
2 weeks. I forgot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so like, how long is it? I feel like we've already been watching like this season of anime for like a month now. We're just going through everything and we're like, oh God, fuck. We have to watch like 10 anime today. Fuck.
Well, on the bright side, we've kind of gone through most of the first episodes. There's like 3 left that haven't come out yet. That will be out.
Like the hard part is pretty much over. So
yeah.
How do you feel so far about the season?
It's complicated because like I feel like a lot of what is carrying this season, a lot of it is sequels, but there's not a lot of like originals.
No. The two originals that I think we're on board with right now are like, well, obviously, I mean, Panning and Stocking, but it's like, do we want to count that? Because that's like a sequel.
That's
still
a sequel.
And it's like,
yeah.
Like new, in terms of new originals, it's like Turkey,
which is not in my top 10.
I like the first episode of Turkey. I'm interested to see where it goes. It's one of those things where it's kind of hard. You kind of got to go into that first episode as blind as possible because it kind of goes in a direction you're like, oh, I've been tricked. Oh, this is a completely different show than I was expecting.
Yeah, I don't think we had a chance because immediately people saw it and were like, oh my God, you see Turkey did this thing. And I was like, oh.
I mean, I didn't know what it was going to do, but I did go and I went and watched it knowing it was going to do something. And when that thing happened, I was like, oh, that's so silly. That's so dumb.
I'm on board. I don't know if it'll be good or not, but I'm like, I'm here to see what you're going to go with this. It kind of reminds me of C3 Boo. Because like C-3PO did that weird shit too, where, you know, it's all about airsoft. She does like all this shit, and then there's like this weird god shrine element, and she like harnesses the power of like a archer or something, and it's like this is strange. Something new, I guess. Yeah. It might be good. C-3PO wasn't really good.
We at least have to watch the second episode of Turkey to know what is going on. I think the first episode, it has like some promise in terms of like the character dynamics and like the visuals. It's just, I have to, what is the actual story? What are they cooking?
What is Brud cooking?
And then like the other originals this season are Amyo Kaiten, which you fell asleep watching, and then that Necronomico show. And then I guess something, I don't think we've checked this out yet. Binan Koko Chikyu Boye Bu Haikar. What the fuck is this?
You just made that up.
Is this even on our schedule for this week?
Is it on the schedule?
I don't know. Yeah. No. It's a spinoff of Cute High Earth Defense Club. What the fuck is this?
I don't know.
What? Hold on. I guess let me pull it over on the stream. What the... What is it? It's a new series. Oh, that's why I didn't have it added. It's a spinoff thing. So it's like, nah, we don't have the prior context necessary.
Yeah, no, I'm good on that.
So yeah, not a good season for original anime, unfortunately.
Compared to like last season, which was fucking stacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apocalypse Hotel.
Yeah. I don't think everyone was like hyping the season up before going into it. And it's like,
well, it is one of those seasons, right? Like, it's a season where you have a lot of sequels to big properties. Like, yeah. Some of them are good. Like, I'm not saying, like, Don Don, I like Don Don. Sure. My Dress Up Darling, Call of Night, stuff like that. Like, Painting and Stalking. Yeah. Like, yeah, those are hype shows, but it's like, for me, I guess, like, we've talked about it before. Like, when I look at a season and, like, its totality, I want, like, a good mixture of all of that. Like, I want, like, good sequels.
Yeah.
I want some good manga adaptations. But I mainly kind of look at like original anime. Partly because of like the presentation of it. Like, you get a little bit more freedom in the presentation. So when you get like good adaptations, it's not a huge problem. But I just generally enjoy seeing like original properties in anime as opposed to just being adaptations, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Although, like, you've gotten, like, let me think, at least two really great adaptations this season.
At least two.
At least two, maybe three. We got City, obviously. Takopi has been really strong. And then, I mean, I don't really care that much for the Summer Hikaru Die, but it is very well made, so.
And you're talking, like, that aren't sequels. City is weird because it almost just feels like a sequel to Nichijou.
It's Nichijou, but it's different. It's more, but not.
It basically is, but it's technically not.
Which it is like, I mean, yeah, that's pretty good. That's good. Yeah, that's a good show, right?
Nichijou or
no City?
Oh, City. Fuck, dude. I watched the first episode and I was immediately like, this might actually be my anime of the year.
Yeah.
After one episode.
Yeah.
It's all it takes.
We went from Medalist to Apocalypse Hotel to maybe City. I mean, I don't know if it'll top Apocalypse Hotel for me. It could. That would be kind of insane. It's Kyoto Animation. So kind of just, I think we were saying before the season started, it's like, if City is bad, there's no hope left.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's no, it, like, if there were ever a show that was guaranteed to be good, it is a Kyoto Animation adaptation of City. And if that doesn't work, then it's like that we don't.
All hope is
lost.
We
live in an unjust universe. Yeah, we can kill humanity off now. There's no point in continuing.
Well, the first episode at least was good. We haven't seen the second one yet, so humanity can continue living for a little bit longer.
For a little bit longer.
But no, I was... It's almost like a painful experience. Because mind you, Nichijou is like in my top 25 anime of all time. Like
top 10, didn't it?
Nah, it's never been my top 10, but it's been like my top 15.
Okay.
And it's kind of just like settled around 20-ish. Namely because when I watched Nichijou, that was like a decade ago now. And since then I've seen like stuff like Ashinojo and Kage no An, stuff like that. So it kind of just wedged it out a little bit, but watching this, I was immediately just like, yeah, we're back. This is it.
We're so back. We've literally never been more back.
This is fucking insane. Like the level of production on this.
I saw people talking and evidently it does not adapt like the first chapters. It just like starts on like a chapter in the middle. And you can kind of tell that. And I saw people being like, well, it doesn't have a proper introduction. It's like, I don't fucking care. You fucking loser. It's just draw me in.
City.
Listen, this show is completely inscrutable and you won't be able to tell what's going on unless they introduce each character individually once an episode. Like, no, it's like they put you in and you can pretty easily figure it out. It's like, I don't know. People say like the first step, like the episode zero, whatever of Haruhi is like confusing or doesn't introduce anything. And it's like, no, it does. You just need to like have a functioning brain stem, not even a full brain, just the brain stem in order to be able to figure this shit out.
And to be fair, I don't like episode zero's introduction to Haruhi.
I've not seen literally anything else, but I was literally like, I fully understand the show.
It's like too shitposty. I'm just like, I'm getting like the glit, like, cause you don't see any of Kyan in it really hardly.
That's kind of the thing. It's like, I watched it and despite neither Kyan nor Haruhi being in it, I'm like, I understand this immediately and implicitly what the group dynamic here is.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand it. It's just,
I don't know. To me, I don't know. The city starts in media. Do you think that'd be funny if Kyoto Animation just got really trolly again with this?
What, from like Nietzsche or Haruhi?
Yeah, like doing like an Endless Eight type of thing for City.
Mm. If they did that for City, that'd be fucked up because like,
that'd be so fucked.
Haruhi, it made more sense because it's like already a full like adaptation before season two. This is like all you have of City, and like eight of it is just gonna be the same thing. That'd be fucking
no. I'm not saying like doing like an Endless Every Eight thing, but still kind of doing like this, the stuff that's just weird. Like that. I was actually kind of surprised how normal the new panning and stalking is. Like, it's just kind of like, all right, we're just back in the saddle, I guess.
Normal in like a bad way, a weird way. I say weird in like sense of like weird from painting and stock. Like it keeps doing like the weird twist thing where I'm like, why are we doing it this way? Like this is just a strange way to course correct.
I was honestly thinking like, no, I like painting and stock, it needs to be more irreverent. It needs to just be like, that cliffhanger at the end, what if that was just like five minutes and then it was dealt with and then something else happens?
That'd be or funny.
Like they had like this like recap at the start. And I'm like, what if they just got rid of that and just picked up right from where the last episode left off 15 years ago and not did anything to like reacclimate people? No, it's just like, we're here now.
I thought it was funny for a half a second when he was like, oh, you've been sitting there for 15 years. And then he's like, but it's actually only been 5 minutes. And it's like, okay.
That was the one good bit in the show. I don't know. I didn't really find like original panning and stalking that funny. So into this new one, I'm just kind of like, yeah, this is what I expected.
I'm not a big panning and stalking fan either.
Nah. City was hilarious though.
City was fun. Like I think we're talking about it. Like City is like the sense of humor, like because it is a slice of life, I guess. It kind of just puts you in a mood where, like, it might not be the most clever or witty show, like, as a comedy. And it might not necessarily be, like...
I don't know. I thought there were a lot of good, like, layers and, like, reincorporation and stuff.
The way that they did, like, the skirt, like, that handled that and stuff was funny.
It's like, that's a good bit.
Keeps coming up. But, like, it's not, like, super witty. It's not, like... I would not put this in front of just a random person and be like, this is the funniest anime I've ever seen. and they watch like that episode and be like, okay.
No, there's a lot of just like very like lowbrow stuff, but not lowbrow in the way of like a panty and stocking. More lowbrow in the context of like the joke is people yelling.
Yeah.
Just people screaming at each other, which I like. That's my kind of humor.
It's just, I think it's just more like, because it's so laid back and it's kind of just like inviting you into a certain setting, it becomes more humorous in a way. Because it's just like, oh, it's lighthearted and I'm not like fucking rolling over like, oh my God, it's hilarious. Which, funny enough, like, now that I think about it, like, there have been jokes that I thought were like really kind of clever or witty. Like, even in something like Cromartie High School, like, that will have a joke like, where the fuck they're like, oh, did you know monkeys are too stupid to like climb a ladder for a banana? And then like they do this whole bit with it, and then they come across a banana, or they put a banana on a string or whatever, and they're like, oh, how would you get it without the ladder? And you're like trying to figure it out, and then the fucking monkey the gorilla classmate comes and just puts the ladder up and gets it, and they're like, we're fucking dumber than him. Like, it's that kind of shit that's like really clever and like witty, but it wasn't like super, like, I wasn't like dying, right? I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Whereas this, I'm like, I don't know, this makes me laugh more, I guess, because it's just more laid back. I don't know what exactly about it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's generally in my wheelhouse, I guess. Like, very much like Nietzsche Joe. Like, this, like, watching this, immediately I'm like, okay, is this going in my top 50 or where is this going?
Yeah. It'll be interesting for me to compare to like Apocalypse Hotel in terms of humor, because they're relatively similar with like their jokes. So I'm curious where I'll place it based on that.
Relatively, I guess. I think with like Apocalypse Hotel, it has all like the aliens and the absurdity as far as like introducing these like unnatural elements into it.
Mm-hmm.
Nichijou had like Hakase and Nano, like the robot stuff, but like a lot of it was just kind of like, you know, trying to get a goat out of the schoolyard ramped up to like 11 for some reason. Like,
yeah.
It was just more like the absurdity of the everyday kind of thing, where this feels like it's that too.
Oh, that's where the title comes from.
Yeah.
Now it all makes sense.
All's coming together. The absurdity of a city is all coming together. This kind of has like that element of it too, but I can see what you're saying as far as like the fucking once they kind of establish the mundane in Apocalypse Hotel, like the stuff of introducing like the unlocks that Yachio gets kind of falls in line with like the silly aspect,
like Yachio and Ponko just kind of like their whole dynamic.
Mm-hmm. It's basically just Nano and Hakase.
Have you read the city manga at all?
No.
Okay, thank God, neither have I.
Yeah, no.
We're going into this completely blind.
I've kind of been tempted to in the past, but like I'm not a big manga person, so I'm just like, eh.
Same.
And I'm glad I didn't, because now I get to experience it blind as an anime.
In animation, live and in, I guess, well, maybe is the manga in color? This is like using manga cult, like the color style of the manga, which
of the cover
is also great, by the way.
I can see why they went the direction they did with Nichijo, though, where like it went more like pastel and more vignetted, I guess, because like watching this, there are times where I'm like, there is a lot of visual information on screen.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the vibe that I've always gotten from like what I've seen of the manga, is it has a very like Where's Waldo-esque quality to it. Where's Wally, of course, for people in the UK or Australia or whatever the fuck. Where it's like, just a lot of color, and it's almost got like this kind of like super flat energy where it's all just coming at you, and you gotta like, I'm being fucking assaulted in my fucking face by all everything.
My fucking retinas are burning out of my skull.
Which is vibrant. You could almost say that's kind of like, I guess, maybe reflective of like, this is me getting into my media analysis bag, like reflective of maybe like the difference in focus, where Nichijou is more like small scale and focused on like the individuals, whereas City is big and it's everything all at once.
Yeah.
and it kind of be like reflected in the style and use of color. Yeah. And then I, for our anime watching schedule in our Discord, I specifically moved this up to be like, this is the first thing that we will watch on Monday because we do not want to fucking wait to watch City.
Oh, it's already hard enough waiting all Sunday. And then
wait, yeah, waiting Monday. 24 hours. Yeah, you've been spoiled on all the jokes already.
I'm not having spoiled anything. It's just hard to wait.
Then what was it? Like, Summer Hikaru died. This one's interesting. I'm not terribly enamored with it. I don't know. It's not really my kind of thing, especially visually. Like, I look at it and go, this looks really good, but what if it instead was two girls sitting in a cafeteria having a conversation for 20 minutes?
I was actually really taken back about how good Summer Hikaru Died was. Like, I've seen quite a bit of horror. I guess it's not something I actively seek out in anime just because I've kind of given up on it as in the medium. But, like, I've seen quite a bit of stuff that's trying to be, like, horror in anime.
Yeah,
the closest I've seen,
like Uzumaki,
the closest I've seen that's like kind of been somewhat successful is probably Yami Shibai, some of them, and that's probably closer because it almost is like what you kind of described of like Burning Buddha Man or whatever, or whatever the other one is, where it's just
Violence Voyager,
where it's just kind of like this uncanny valley thing where the Yami Shibai is kind of paper looking animation.
It's really hard because so much of the visual language of anime and manga is it's so rooted in like moe, and moe, if anything, is kind of like the antithesis to uncanniness in some ways. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to capture that kind of energy in animation. This does it pretty well, I'd say. Like the main horror bit in the first episode is like right at the very end, and I was like,
no, I kind of disagree. Like the whole episode's kind of this horror aspect of it, in the sense of like the existentialism of it. So like at the beginning when he's like, you're not Hikaru, are you? And like he just immediately reveals like, oh, I don't want to kill you. And then you're kind of like with the main character kind of coming to terms of like, well, my best friend's dead. This thing is replacing him. I guess it's better to have him there and us be friends and him kind of being there in place of Hikaru than Hikaru just being gone forever. And like you kind of having this like weird uncanniness to like their interactions where he's kind of like it's unsettling. And it kind of highlights that toward the end when he starts thinking to himself, like, what am I doing? Why am I having a conversation with this thing? Like, what? Why? This is fucked up, isn't it? Like, he's fucking dead. Like, what are we doing? And then, like, it kind of steps back to reality. And like, it has an interesting aspect to it that kind of reminds me of, like, Silent Hill 2 or something, where it kind of invites you to start thinking about these existential questions at the beginning. And so you're kind of thinking about them in the background and, like, what their potential repercussions could be. But it's not necessarily because like Silent Hill is not necessarily like the scariest game as far as like jump scares or anything like that either. But it does have like a very good oppressive kind of atmosphere to it. And this sort of like existential dread of like trying to figure out like what you're doing or why you're here, that kind of thing kind of lends itself to that. So I think this is capturing that pretty well. Obviously, like the thing at the end with like him doing the horror thing kind of worked out decently enough. I don't know, for me, like, I think I was really caught off guard by how good this actually was, at least the first episode. I'll be interested to see like where it goes. There's like aspects of it that I'm like, that could go somewhere kind of shitty. Like the ritual thing that they got kind of playing in the background after the old lady gets killed. I'm like, I don't know where they're going to go. Because, like, that's the thing that people always complain about Silent Hill 2 is, not 2, but, like, as well, is the cult aspects of it. And even though, like, those are very integral to the series, like, they do kind of get in the way in some things, like Homecoming or something, where they're kind of not well integrated. And you're just like, okay, I don't care about this cult shit that you're doing in this game. Hikaru could do something like that if it's not well handled. But I don't know. From the first episode, I'm on board. I think it was really good.
This is the part where I tell you to read Higurashi. For me, it's like, I mean, I kind of went in knowing this is going to have like really strong production value, which it does. But for me, it's mostly a matter of like the way this is presented visually, while good, is not really a way that I'm particularly interested in, that really like ropes me in. I think I said like, which was kind of funnier. Like there's one gag in the episode where like Hikaru was doing something and it like cuts to like a wider shot and like the background that was initially behind him is still just kind of there as like just for no reason. I'm like, that's a good bit. I wish it had more. For me, it's like when it comes to this kind of horror, I like that sort of balance of light and dark where it's almost like this is more on the mopey side of things. Like the things that you kind of read as like existential to me just kind of seemed like, oh, this kid just sad.
This is a sad boy.
He's a sad boy. This is a toxic yaoi, basically.
I mean, that's of an element to it. I wonder if he is gonna turn out to be like gay, because he is like
they very heavily hint at it.
Yeah. Because like he is like, oh, he never told me that he loved me or felt strongly for me or whatever. So I do wonder if that's
maybe they were like maybe they were just good friends. Maybe they just had a podcast together. All right, we don't know.
Maybe that could support pretty
die,
good.
I
was gonna say maybe that could support a really good queer reading
of this.
Yeah,
like that in the sense of like exists.
Well, yeah, definitely. Like it is a manga.
Like I know. I think that is like kind of like a key idea of the story is like. This is just my assumption. I'm going to assume rural life in Japan, much like it is in a lot of places, is say more conservative than like urban city life. So maybe there probably is like an aspect of like repressed sexuality and stuff.
Are you saying that like his death in the mountains is actually representative of him coming out as gay, and like the old lady being shocked and like just appalled by him is a result of, you know, rural closed-mindedness not being in tune with modern sensibilities where they are appalled by outwardly homosexual teenager boy?
Sure. I was mostly thinking along the lines because there's so much like horror, like the closest analog to that, and it's a very strong analog, is Summertime Render. And there's like between this or like Higurashi, like there's a common element of where, and you see this a lot in like, even like the, you know, like every Goosebumps novel, every Goosebumps book has like the same setup of kid moves to small town and there's something weird in the small town because they tend to be very close knit, word gets around fast. And that is kind of a disorienting aspect where like in the city, you're much more like faceless. You know, not everybody knows your name. It's not Cheers.
Where everybody
knows. So that's usually like an element that you see in these kinds of stories.
Yeah. I can see it.
It'll be interesting. The manga is still coming out, so this is not going to be a full adaptation. This feels like it'd be a very short story, honestly.
12 episodes, yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it's still coming out. It's been going since 2021. Okay, wow. Whoa. Fuck.
Well, be interesting to see where it goes.
I guess. I mean, yeah, we'll have to see.
I need to take a break real quick.
Oh, okay.
I'm not gonna make it. I'm gonna mute my microphone. So if you want to keep recording, where it just stays in sync, or if you want to stop recording, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, no, just keep recording. I'll just keep talking. I don't know what the hell you got to go do. When I'll just keep talking. I think Mumi probably has to go like piss or something. I honestly have no idea.
All right, I'm back.
Oh my god, what the? Where the fuck were you?
Had to be done. It was an emergency.
Oh.
Speaking of emergencies,
what were we talking about?
We just finished Hikaru.
Oh yeah, right. There's another like I guess horror, not really a horror anime. More like, honestly, I feel like Takofi's kind of a black comedy in a lot of ways.
You've been saying that.
like a really, really black comedy.
Yeah.
Blacker than Ninkoro.
Yeah, well, if it were, that would definitely... It's dealing with a lot of really dark subject matter.
In a way that it varies in terms of how it's handles it. Because, like, some stuff is like, oh, this is fucking depressing. This is really heavy. But then other stuff, it still just as fucked up, is handled in a way that feels very, like, humorous. Because it's like, Takopi has this... Like, he has this very, like, rose-tinted view of the world and all these issues and stuff. And that sort of incongruity lends itself to things that are really fucked up being really funny.
It's
kind of, really something.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree with it being a comedy.
Not a through and through, like, bust, like laugh out. It's very, like, dry in terms of how, like, I keep comparing it in my head to Fargo, specifically season one of Fargo. I've not seen the movie, though I honestly should. But like season one of Fargo also has that like really like this is like fucked up. But it's being presented like Ninkoro like frames stuff like it frames things like very explicitly as like jokes. Whereas this is like really a joke. This is just fucked up and I hate myself for laughing at that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's I've been enjoying it. There's not lots for me to like take out of it. Like this part, I guess you could say it's some kind of like weird subversion of like Doraemon or something. I think people have been kind of trying to latch onto.
Even like the Kyubey kind of character. Like it's basically like Takumi's basically like the inverse of Kyubey in a lot of ways. Like
more innocent than the people. He's
yeah and that's kind of what corrupts him basically rather than the other way around.
I think it's there's an interesting thing going on where you're kind of like put in a position where you're kind of in the same position as Takopi in a way where it's like, oh, what this girl's going through is so terrible, I want to like protect her kind of thing. And you kind of come back around to where
there's a solution to that, and then they do that solution, you're like, this didn't really make me feel any better. I actually feel kind of worse now.
Well, yeah, like they do the obvious thing that you do with these type of characters. But yeah. The stuff they're doing now is kind of like interesting in a way where it's like, just because they are victims doesn't mean they are good. And no, oftentimes those who are victimized can perpetuate the cycle of violence.
Yeah, exactly.
How it begins is like a more of overt in a way, but like now we're kind of seeing like, oh, now we are just in weird manipulative piece of shit territory. It's interesting how it's tackling it in that way, but that almost I wouldn't say nuance, but.
Well, again, that's also just reminding me of Fargo, of like that kind of like Breaking Bad aspect that Lester goes through. It's just like, I was on your side, dude, and now you're like, dog, what the fuck?
It's a less of an extreme, because like, it's not like the moral is like, oh, you shouldn't help people in need.
No, but it's like these things have very this is a very complicated situation that has no real easy solution, which is also like. Again, just reminds me a lot of Higurashi in terms of like the way it handles these kinds of social issues, and like I guess it'll be very dependent on how this ends. Higurashi is very hopeful. I don't know if this is gonna be. I can see this being fucking miserable by the end.
I mean, they kind of left the door open for it to be hopeful. I think at the end of episode one or two, and
yeah,
or no, episode one. And then by the end of episode two, they kind of close that door.
Yeah, that's where it gets slammed wide shut and just completely no.
They cracked it open again in episode three. We're like, well, maybe.
Maybe.
They're kind of flirting with the lie. And they're like, well, you don't know what's going to happen yet.
It's like a dark version of Junkers Come Here. It's like, it's like, you know, because like in the plot of like Junkers Come Here, it's like the girl just like wishes for like, specific things, and they're not necessarily like fix all the problems in her life, where it's like really funny if, like, you just come here, she just, like, asks the dog to be like, yeah, kill everyone. Kill everyone now.
This person is directly tied to my own happiness. Just kill them now.
Beat them to death with your bare hands.
Maybe the dog was Junkers.
Oh, that dog is dead. That dog is 100. They want to get that dog is absolutely fucking dead.
Speaking of dead dogs.
That dog, I got that dog got fucking turned into hamburgers, not being served at Walmart as fucking bologna or something.
Served as a side dish. Like
horse meat.
Served as a side dish to fucking Ogre Cap's fucking horse burger over there. After they took her out back.
Series looks, it's interesting too, because it's only six episodes, which is like, okay.
That's becoming a thing.
Which I'm not against. It really depends on like the kind of story. I think for a two volume manga like this, like, no, that makes perfect sense. If you stretched it out into 12 episodes into a single core, it'd be like, yeah, but like the way this is structured is kind of perfect, where it feels like every episode basically ends on a cliffhanger. It's like, oh god. And his next episode starts. We're like, all right, we're back. We're good. All right. And then like, oh god. Next episode starts. And you're like, all right. Yeah. I think we're back. We're doing. Oh, never mind. What a wonderful show to recommend to people that don't watch anime. And be like, yeah, have you heard of this show called Takafi's Original Sin? No, just don't even say original. Have you heard of the show called Takafi? Oh, it's so cute. You're going to love. Look how cute the little guy is.
You heard of Togepi's Original Sin?
Togepi's Original. I was also thinking of that. Togepi uses metronome and just everyone's head starts exploding.
What have I done? Togepi! Like that fucking stupid animation where it's like, Ash, what are you gonna do? Ash, you take responsibility.
It really, you know what? Manga really is just coming around. Like, Japan kind of like lags behind culturally. And, you know, manga is really just now catching up to 2007 edgy YouTube.
The amazing atheist brain of YouTube.
Oh man, I can't wait for a 2016 era YouTube anime. It's gonna be really racist. Really, feminism or whatever the fuck. Just saying the N-word constantly. Remember that was wild, right?
Remember the Donald Trump centipede memes or whatever the fuck?
Centipede me? I don't remember those.
I don't know. There was some fucking... I guess they weren't shorts. I don't know what the fuck. I don't even remember. I guess there was centipede... Like, it'd just be like debate moments where they're like, the centipede strikes or something. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
What the fuck are you talking... I do not remember. Now you're talking about a narrative of the internet I vividly remember. I have no idea what the fuck you were talking about.
Unfortunate.
Second centipede. Maybe you're thinking of something else, but also, what do you mean, like short, like YouTube? Like,
no, I guess they weren't exist. Shorts because I guess that was before.
No, like vines. Vine was still around in like 2015, 2016.
I don't know how in tune I was with Vine though. I never had the app.
Maybe
there was like a Vine compilation or something on YouTube I came across or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
Togepi's Original Sin's been good. It kind of scared me for a second there, because like the season basically ended, and we're like, ah, finally the new season. We start the first show, and it's fucking Togepi. I'm like, oh fuck, this is gonna be another fucking season with nothing. Oh, what the fuck? I was like, it's gonna be really hard to top Apocalypse Hotel, and then you get fucking Togepi. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Maybe I don't know if it'll top it for me, but it'll probably pretty like definitely up there for me by the end of the year, I'd say.
I don't know if it will for me either, but it was like kind of touch and go for a second there, where you're just like, how is this good after one episode already? This is not
right. Yeah. And then what else? I mean, we watched what are our top shows? Ruri Rocks. I really like Ruri Rocks. Ruri Rocks is great.
Ruri Rocks is
for reasons right. That should be obvious.
I haven't gotten into it yet. In the sense of like
what
it hadn't
mean?
Like it hadn't vibed with me quite yet.
Oh, the way you said that made it seem like you hadn't like seen it yet.
No, I've seen it. Yeah.
Like, you were there. Yeah, you were there with us when we watched it.
It hadn't like as a slice of life esque type of show, it has not like vibed with me yet. Where I'm like,
it's kind of like, I feel like this is what people wanted out of Mono, where it's like getting more so into like the details of like the activity that is like the at the core of the show.
Where you get sweaty with the fucking minerals.
Yeah. It's just like, this is how these rocks form and yada yada, which I like that kind of stuff. There's a cool YouTube channel called Myron Cook that I really like. And it's like, just this guy, just this older guy that goes out and just kind of like talks to a camera out in the wilderness and tells you about cool rocks and how they form. And it's wonderful. It's very relaxing. Go check out Myron Cook. It's a really good channel. Really cool drone shots.
Where do you rank this among like the mineral trilogy? You have Rory Rocks.
The mineral?
Yeah. Okay. And then you have the Hank portions of Breaking Bad.
And then
you have Joe Pera talks with you.
That's a good question. I would say below Joe Pera, but above the Hank stuff in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, the Hank stuff was that was like before minerals were cool. That was kind of like them trying to introduce it.
It doesn't necessarily get like really into like the details of it. Whereas, yeah. Like, I mean, that's the whole thing with Joe Pera is we're just talking. Like, he's telling me about the rocks of
it's like ASMR minerals of Michigan.
Yeah, it's great. I told you about how like I feel like Joe Pera talks with you is like the closest American media has gotten to like proper Iyashike.
I can see it.
Yeah, it's very very relaxing show. So obviously Rory Rocks looks great. It's Studio Bind.
Yeah.
And it's got that I think it's a lot of the same team that did Onimai. I don't think it's their Mushoku Tensei team though. I don't know how much crossover there is there between those two. I don't know how big the studio is. So it looks great. They really took some liberties with the character designs, I'll say this. Which is kind of interesting because this is a first-time character designer. And I feel like if you're a first-time character designer, like on a show like this, you would want to be relatively faithful to the character designs of the manga, whereas the character designer here took a lot of liberties.
I can see the logic both ways. Like, you're new, yeah. So you're like, I'm going to shake things up and make a dramatically different character. Like, I can see the logic both ways for both scenarios.
Please, and you know what? I see the vision. Please put her, have her design every character for every anime going forward. I don't remember the character designer's name off the top of my head, but I immediately like looked her up and I was like, fuck, she has no socials.
Do you think there's ever going to be like a scene where she like crushes diamonds with her thighs?
Honestly, how did she take off those pants in the first episode? In the first episode, like she gets her pants wet or something and we see her like start to take them off, but then it cuts away. I'm like, No. This isn't even like a horny thing. It's a little bit of a horny thing, but it's like, how the fuck is she taking those pants off? Because they're like glued to her skin.
Maybe they're like the stretch pants.
I mean, honestly, yeah. The way that it's like just gripping her vulva in that one shot.
Yeah, it's like those. What do they call those? Jeggings or something?
I don't know.
Jean leggings.
Honestly, I think the fan service in this, I would also say, is a lot better than what I've seen of the manga. The manga is a lot more just kind of like there's a panning shot and it's just like the main girl just like bends over and it's just her full ass is out. And I'm like, that's just kind of like cheap. Here it's handled in a way that feels a lot more like diegetic, where it's not necessarily like a really horny scenario like you get in like Onimai. It's more so just kind of like selective angles, you know, just give you like
enough of a
certain way to look at the characters. Yeah,
like, oh, we're looking at her ass, but really you're supposed to be looking at like the hammer on her belt. That's
the hammer,
the bell. Yeah. Sorry, the bell.
Yeah, and you do get stuff like that in the manga a little bit, but I think they do a lot better, a lot more smarter here. I guess I could be wrong. We'll have to see how the later episodes pan out. Get it.
Ba-dum-ts.
Yeah, I just saw the fucking microphone just peaked so hard when I did that.
We just filtered a lot of people.
We're like an hour in, then go fuck themselves. we're talking about fan service and not like condemning it. So it's like we're talking about it in terms of like, actually, I think this is really well crafted, artistically speaking, which it is. I think the show looks fantastic. It has a nice emotional core to it. Like you get that bit. at the end of the episode, this sort of like moral with the minerals. What were they, like garnets or whatever?
Oh, they kind of hint at like the mill being carried to like this weird grotto by the birds.
Yeah. It was just like, again, it there's a sort of universality in when you think about like geology or just like the universe itself, where it's just like, yeah, you know, the things that we're made of are from the continents and will eventually be returned to the continents and turned into mountains and all these kinds of things. It's a very nice, like, kind of like humanist sentiment you get at the end that I like.
I can't wait to turn to a tree.
What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a tree. You know what? We were talking the other day. We were talking with friends in another Discord. And they're like, what kind of horse would you want to be? And it's like, I wouldn't want to be a horse. I would want to be a mule that died in the Mexican-American War.
Why?
I think it's romantic.
Okay.
Speaking of romance, so what was the one that's like everyone's like been raving about that we were just kind of mid on?
Oh, April showers bring May flower. Some fucking, I don't know.
No. I think the other one. I think that's the not the one that has like a 9 on my anime.
The fragrant
list.
Flower blooms with dignity.
Yeah.
That's what.
That one was all right.
It's all right. It kind of just is this just like a fucking written? This was written after 100 Girlfriends, and I'm wondering like, is this just like the author, like whoever the author was of this, just like read 100 Girlfriends, saw Shizuka, and was like, "Ah, I want to make a cute romance with Shizuka."
Maybe. I'm honestly really, because I mean, I don't follow manga, so I was surprised at how revered, like how like acclaimed this has been right off the bat. Because it had like almost like. I was expecting Takumi to have like the highest score of the season on my anime list. And this came out and was like next to a 9. I'm like, okay. And to a certain extent, taking my anime list score seriously is just kind of like, yeah,
silly.
But it does give you like a general idea of like what like the community's overall view of something is. So we sat down, we watched it, and it was okay.
It's
not even really my,
we talked about this a little bit where people are like, oh shit, why it's so high. I'm like, what is this aimed towards and what is it not aimed towards?
Yeah. Is it just because it's like unproblematic, maybe? I don't know.
I think it's literally just because it's a romance that's not aimed at women.
I guess.
Because like it's not different. It's not really any different from like a sign of affection or it's better than Honey Lemon Soda, but like premise wise, it's not all that different. The only difference is that this is a seinen.
Yeah.
The only difference in Kaguya.
It's,
okay.
It's literally like, it's like, it could be the exact same story, the exact same manga, but if it was published in like a shoujo or like a josei magazine, it'd be like, fucking mid trash made for women, fucking dumbass.
Basically,
bitches.
Like, look at all the shit that's like all romance that people like in like recently.
Yeah.
My Dress Up Darling.
That's how
Blue
I think
Box.
It's a seinen. Yeah.
Kaguya. Yeah.
Shonen Jump. Jump Plus, maybe Shonen Jump. Yeah. There's a really funny, I think, aversion to just adapting anything, because I can see this being published in like a shoujo manga or josei like magazine, but it's not.
Yeah,
there's like a weird, like almost like systemic aversion to adapting like shoujo or josei into anime. It's really strange, honestly. Like, it doesn't even feel like a content thing. It feels like oh, these kind of stories don't do well with the mainstream audience. It feels more so just like, just don't adapt things for those magazines. It's like, really weird.
Well, I guess like something like a, I guess like those other ones, it follows the female. And so if you're a hot-blooded, red-blooded guy.
Oh, I understand. So I can, as a man, I can feel safe watching this romance anime because the main character is a guy.
Yes.
So I can identify with the guy being the main. But if the main character was the girl, I can't identify with the girl main character.
Well,
I'm
then that
man.
Makes you feel icky because now you're getting the woman's perspective in this dynamic. So she's like, oh, his hands are so big and make me feel warm. And you're like, big hands.
Ew, gross. You're making me feel like a stop.
Oh,
that. No.
Don't say that. It is basically that.
That is literally just the mentality, though.
It is being directed by a woman, which is interesting.
I mean, who's, what have they done? Like, have they done anything else?
They haven't directed anything. Oh no, they did. They directed the Sailor School Uniform.
Oh, okay, interesting. I can kind of see that.
And Idolmaster Side M, which I guess is the male
manga done. Okay, they have done
almost nothing.
Seemingly nothing else out, like just some like one shots. It looks like. God damn.
I don't know if they're supposed to be.
What magazine is this publishing in? Why is this? Let me see here.
I'm trying to.
Oh, it's published online. Interesting.
Anyway, yeah, that it basically is like anyone that's confused as to why this is doing well and why other romances don't. That's it. That's basically, it's just a seinen. So it's okay. It's safe.
Yeah. I mean, it looks good too. So that's probably also, but it's not even my favorite romance of the season.
Assigned Effect should look good too. Assigned Effect should look better than this most of the time. Like, yeah. Okay. You get into like the middle of the season. Like they're always going to be like a little bit of a dip. So it's hard for me to compare that to this. Cause this is one episode, but like the first episode of Assigned Effect looked fucking great. Like very colorful, very vibrant. Like I think that's my problem with this. Is like people will hype this up and they're like, oh my God, it's so fucking amazing. It's like a 9 out of 10 on my anime list or whatever. And like, as a premise for a romance, it's the most basic bare bones shit.
Oh, it's incredibly basic.
It's like,
so
oh, I'm a tall guy with light colored hair and angry eyes. So people misunderstand me, but this girl who's short and cute and small, she's a small little fella. Like she understands me. And, you know, we have a, it's like, okay, that's cute. Sure. But like, as a premise, that's not, that's not setting the world on fire.
It's like Toradora, but you stripped elements away. It's like Toradora is already incredibly simple. It's like, this is even more streamlined.
Toradora, if you made Ryuji, more bland and stripped away all of Taiga's character and made her Shizuka fucking.
yeah, completely.
But yeah, it's,
no, like
it's
my favorite
fine.
Romance that I think the of like new romance anyway of the season is that April Shower show. That one was really good.
April Showers. Is that the one with the Wanamote girl?
Yeah. The one who's like I don't look attractive enough to have like my shoujo romance.
Yeah, that one I liked her character.
Yeah.
That is a good, if it weren't for Kana Hanazawa and another one. That might be my performance of the year, but Kana Hanazawa is like killing in that one show. So like, we'll get to that. But she is good in this. Saori, I do like her in this.
That's a Saori Hayama, who was also she was the fucking girl. She was the girl in Gigi Harem.
Yeah. Gigi Harem was such a good role for her too. This I don't think has like it doesn't have the range that Gigi Harem, like
it doesn't have like the literal range in this, but yeah, the sounds that she makes in this are fucking that first episode.
It is a very strong performance,
like a high pitched squeal, and I'm like, what the was that?
For what it's worth, I fucking get annoyed by that shit, and I got annoyed in the right way because I'm like, okay, this is exactly the kind of fucking noise someone like this would make.
This girl's like always worried about people being mean to her, talking shit behind her back. Literally everyone at the school is nice to her, but if you were there, you'd just be like, you fucking bitch.
No, like as long as she didn't scream in my fucking ear like she did in the show. If she ever did that to me, I'll be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Also, by the way, seinen manga. Are there any shoujo or jose adaptations this season?
I don't know. All the recommendations for this are like Skip and Loafer, Honey Lemon Soda, Lookism.
I think Silent Witch. So, but I guess that's also like a light novel original. But what about? Oh, there's almost certainly not a Jose adaptation this season. There never fucking is.
If there is, we're not continuing it. So it's not on my short list.
Betrothed to My Sister's Ex.
Yeah, that one.
You just watched this without me.
I didn't hate that one. I think the what was my like? It's just like not. going to be on the level that I want it to be for me to continue it. It's not that it's bad.
Yeah.
If we were watching less stuff, I would probably just watch it. But it's not.
This is also a light novel adaptation, though, not a manga original.
Yeah, it's one of those where you kind of like just know where it's going from like episode one, basically. You're like, okay, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just I'm not really wanting to watch something like this.
Hold on. Let me see here. Is this a Shosetsu adaptation? Yep. Yes, it is. So it's like, yep. It's what it says on the tin every time.
It tells you. Anyone that's interested in it is better than like the COVID one from like a season or two ago.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck. That one last season. Jesus Christ.
But that one was like a fun indulgent, I guess, where it's just like, oh, this is so trashy, but it's like the fun trash. This is like not bad at all. Like, it's just kind of like.
Yeah.
There are elements to it that are very like heavy handed, I guess. Like mm-hmm. it's doing the fucking the premise of it, since you didn't watch it, is basically like she's the daughter of these nobles and her sister is like the favorite, and she's like, everyone thinks she's ugly because she's got a manly figure or whatever. She's tall and not short and petite like her sister.
Okay.
Even though she's like got the, basically she's like a Bishojo character. She's just not a Moe character. And then like she meets some prince. The prince is like, oh my god, I connect with you, you're interested in my culture or whatever. And then her sister is supposed to be engaged to him. She disappears or dies, ? she ends up having to go marry him instead, and he's like, oh, I wouldn't marry you anyway. And it's kind of like one of those cathartic shows, I guess, where it's like this character that you like because she's a good girl, you want her to succeed and be happy. She's put in a bad situation with her parents abusing her and stuff, and so you just want to watch her have good things happen to her and have bad things happen to her parents and get their comeuppance and stuff. It's one of those type of shows.
Yeah, like Takopi. Yeah
sort of, like not nearly as dark or depressing. But yeah, it's one of those. It's one of those kind of shows.
Yeah.
And it's fine. Like, how it's executed is fine. It's just, I'm like not really in the mood to watch something like this. And then there's better things, in my opinion, that I'm interested in. Or I guess I'd say not necessarily better, but some of the stuff that's like maybe executed on the same level, I'm just more attuned with or whatever. But yeah, it's fine. It was whatever. I would watch more if it was a worse season.
Yeah, it's not, again, I don't know if it's been as strong as last season, but we definitely have a lot on our plate still.
I don't know.
I'm really surprised. I feel like I've not seen as many people talking about Gachi Akuta as I would have expected.
The trash shonen.
Yeah, literal trash.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this is Shonen Jump, isn't it? Hold on.
I don't think so.
Maybe not. No, if it's called Dansha. No, it's Weekly Shonen Magazine. That's a funny ass image on Wikipedia for Weekly Shonen. But it's a fairly popular manga still. It's a big shonen action manga with a pretty good looking anime adaptation that I've not seen like no real hype or discussion around it at all. It's very weird, honestly.
And you haven't talked to Lex lately?
No, I've actually. Lex
was hyping this stupid shit up for fucking like a year and a half.
I know Lex likes it, which is like, I thought it was like a bigger thing, but I'm talking about like my Twitter timeline. I've like not seen like any real. Like, there's literally right now the fucking hacks over at Crunchyroll with their fucking podcast have made an entirely new podcast just for discussing Gachi Akuta Weekly.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, hold on. Look at this. The Gachi Akuta after show.
What the fuck? Are they like being sponsored? Oh, like, it's like, I don't know. It's specifically. Oh
my god. It's like 15-minute episodes too. What the fuck? What's the point?
All right.
Oh, that's so like of all the shows too. Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I guess they wouldn't want to do that with Dandadan, since Crunchyroll is kind of suppresses Dandadan. For really petty, dumb reasons.
Are you telling me that corporate podcast is being controlled by their corporate overlords in some way? No,
I would never. I would never insinuate something so obvious. I would say it outright.
Why would you ever? Who could have ever thought? No, this it's like
Agachi Akata. It's like, I mean, I'm not like, it's not like I'm crazy into it, but I'm like, this is the kind of thing that I would expect to be really popular, and it's just not. Or at least like, maybe it is, and I'm just not seeing it. Seeing like the discussion.
It's pretty stylish.
It's too core. Fuck.
Yeah, it's too core.
Yeah, yeah. It's got good character designs. It's got a good like overall aesthetic. Yeah. So where are the fans at?
Maybe it'll pick people up. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's like the beginning of the season, and Don to Don is airing. And
I've seen a lot of hype for like Dress Up Darling. I'm sure
there's a lot of big shonen series airing this season, isn't there? Dr. Stone,
Kaiju Number 8, Sakamoto Days.
Yeah. So like maybe it's just
a matter of like my timeline, because I've seen like more stuff for Call of the Night season 2, honestly.
That could just be your timeline.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know if Call of the Night's necessarily more popular than Gotcha. Call of the Night's good though. Back. It's basically just more of the same than what the first season was, but
they started off very strong, and by very strong I mean they immediately drew attention to the age gap difference in the two characters and were like, oh, look, it's just like us. We're just like the old salaryman dating a high school, middle school, compensated dating girl. It's like, what? Absolutely. What are you doing? Why would you
and
do
it
this?
It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Listen, all right. Listen, this is the same director. This is as like most of Monogatari. All right. It's Tomoyuki Itamura. So it's like, I think the guy just has a thing for vampires, because the last show he did was the case study of Vanitas, which was also vampire focused. And also this Call of the Night is it's so Monogatari. It's like not really coded. Subtle about its influence. Yeah, no, it's like the mangaka very clearly like read or saw Kizu Monogatari and was like, I'm going to create an entire story about a teenage boy being groomed by a much older, sexy vampire lady. And they're going to be, it's just them wandering around at night, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, Nazuna or whatever was like, age, love transcends age. Age is just a number. And I'm like, so true, bestie. As I'm
oh, yeah, it's great. Well, it kind of like, because like they tie it in like to like the general premise of the show at the end of the episode, where it's kind of like, yeah, this is like this is just a fundamentally atypical story. This is not a normal romance. This is not a normal relationship. And by virtue of the fact that, like, you know, they only do stuff at night. These are not normal people, normal, well-adjusted people. It's fucking weird. And it's wonderful. That's why I watch it. And it's good.
You need flashbacks of being in a long-distance relationship where they're on the other side of the world and you have to wake up at 2 in the morning to have a conversation.
It's also kind of interesting, like, the main guy in Call the Night is also kind of, like, asexual coded, at least, because he doesn't really, like, exhibit, like, arousal to anything. He's very, like, I don't know how I would really describe it, but they do discuss it a lot in the first episode. I'm like, it's interesting that they're, like, directly addressing that as well.
Bro, is your dick broken? What's going on, man?
Yeah, it's like, wait, you were sleeping next to a vampire girl who clearly wanted to fuck you. And it never crossed your mind?
Oh, no. It's not very... Really, no. Okay, this is... I didn't really care for season 1 all that much. Mm-hmm. Season 2 at least started stronger visually, and I guess sort of conceptually, in the sense of, like, it's kind of just leaning more into the we walk around at night vibes.
Yeah.
Where they, like, go to Tokyo and just walk around and shit, where it's like, okay... I'm liking it a little bit more based on one episode and nothing else.
Yeah, I think I was more into season 1 than you were.
No, I thought it was... I gave it like a 5. It was like, all right.
Damn, only a 5? I thought it was like a certified movie 6. God damn.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I really like it. It's very much like a vibes thing, though. Like, I like that kind of like late at night, like past the point where like everyone's gone home from the clubs. It's like, you know, that kind of like dead hour between like 1 or 2 a.m. and like 6 a.m. when the sun comes up, or whenever it fucking comes up in Japan. Like, you know, like no one's really around. It's pretty empty. Anyone who is around is like
they're a weirdo too if they're hanging around at that hour. So it's very dead streets, and between like the choice of color and the thing that stood out to me a lot in that first season too was like the soundtrack, and I'm just like, I like that soundtrack too, and it just ties it all together.
I don't know, maybe this is like, maybe this is resonating with me more in the first episode because like the dialogue was more, it struck a chord in the sense of like where they're talking about like how she wants to move to the city and he kind of is like, oh, I fucking hate city dreams or whatever.
Yeah,
it reminded me of like times I like would say stuff and basically you put like your foot in your mouth kind of thing where you're saying something based on certain experiences that you've had and it like is incongruous with the person you're with at the time, and they're just like, what the fuck? Like, what if I like that kind of thing? You're like, well, oh, maybe I would like it. I don't know. I kind of just being an ass. I don't
Oh my god, there's a fourth season of Shield Hero. Jesus Christ.
There's a fourth season of Shield Hero. I did not watch the first.
No. How was Silent Witch, by the way?
I've been enjoying it okay. It's one of those that's kind of on the bubble for me where I could drop it and not miss it, but we're kind of continuing. I got a lot of pushback from people and I was like, yeah, we could drop this. Like, no, I'm really enjoying it. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
It's basically
that's
just
kind of like the name.
The appeal is basically just Bocchi like the Warlock.
Bocchi the Warlock. Interesting. I mean, that's kind of like, that's a good thing to have in a group watch that we do, I'd say. Like, kind of get like other people's perspectives, what other people's tastes in there, kind of get you a little bit more out of your comfort zone. Which is why we will not be dropping Clevites or what was it? Minogra or whatever the hell the one was called. Minogra
or whatever. I mean, I'm all right with like keeping that. Like, my thing is more like I just trying to keep it to like 4 episodes a day.
Yeah.
That's like 2 hours. Like, honestly, that's already probably more than optimal. I think optimal would be 3 because then it's light enough. Like, it's not like it's like a whole like process, like, all right, we'll sit down, watch some anime. It's kind of like, oh, it's just, we're gonna watch some shows and you have time afterwards. Like, I don't know, that extra 30 minutes has like a weird thing with perception. Once you get to 5, you're adding a whole extra hour to that and it's like, eh.
I don't know. I'm on board. I will fucking march us into Russia in the middle of the winter. I don't give a fuck.
All right. I think everyone's kind of just been whatever on Clevites for the most part.
Yeah. Same with we'll see how this week goes. I think by the end of this week, we'll sit down and we'll put together like, this is what we are watching. This is what we are not watching. We have a few more new things to check
Silent
out.
Witch, I probably would prefer to drop just for the sake of time because it's like, I don't need to watch it. Plus, you start watching enough and it's like, okay, do I feel like I'm going to miss something if I don't watch this? And I don't feel that way with Silent Witch.
I feel that way with a lot. I think that's kind of my thing. It's like, I kind of have that like FOMO sensation with a lot of things, even something like Necronomico, like a little bit.
I had zero of that. Necronomico, I was like, okay, where is this going to end? Like, this looks
like
garish.
Like a little bit. Like, so for me, it's like, I'm like, if there's like a single element in a show that I think I would like, it's like, I would like to continue it if I could. But obviously, we do have to deal with time constraints. Because fucking people are like, oh,
I have life
outside of this.
I'm the opposite. If there's only a single thing I'm interested in, I'm like, why am I going to watch the show? If I don't even enjoy the visuals, and literally the only thing that's somewhat interesting to me is like the Eldritch God aspect, where it's like, how are they going to tie this into this Death Game stuff? I'm like, I can't.
It wasn't
already
even that for me. No, for me, it was literally just the main two characters.
Oh.
Like, I like them.
I don't know, like the Death Game stuff, I feel like I get enough out of it just from the concept where I'm like, okay, I can kind of see where you can go with this. That would be somewhat interesting to kind of see how they expand on it, because it's like the old gods are making you fight to the death, and it's kind of just like the old gods are basically just stand-ins for corporate overlords in a way where it's like, yeah, this is a new frontier, like the new fate, like it's a different environment that you're fighting to death in, but the people at the top are essentially no different than they were before. Yeah. And of course, there's a whole YouTuber aspect to it where they're all fighting each other. They think the game is like, oh, this game looks like it'd be fair at least. And it changes the rules mid game. There's a lot that's like very obvious as far as like what you can read into.
Yeah.
I don't know how interested I am in seeing how it plays out because it's just so like ugly looking.
That's the thing. It's like the character designs are too complicated for animation, or at least for this like production essentially.
I was pretty like vocal about how I didn't like it the first episode, and you were like, oh, it's because you don't like CGI, and I'm like, ironically, that was the least offensive part visually of the show, because at least that was just
I just know that like when they got to introducing the old gods at the end, you were just vomiting on your screen.
What is the
that's kind of like my thing. Yeah, like there's like a single element I'd be like, I'd be willing to stick through this. It makes it hard for me to like want to drop stuff. Usually if I'm like, if I just have to be like completely checked out for me to like want to like be like, yeah, and no, I'm fine with dropping this.
What makes it easy is I think about how much time I don't have.
See, I don't think about things that way because I don't give a fuck. What else am I gonna be fucking doing? Masturbating, huh?
Work on that isekai video? I don't know.
I don't feel like it. I don't want to do work. That's why I watch anime, because I don't want to work.
Speaking of, it keeps
me distracted from my daily obligations. I was supposed to put my fucking like laundry in the washing machine and wash it, but I chose not to today.
Speaking of things that have a single thing that interests me, that Watashi, there's no way I'm freaking in love with you or whatever the fuck.
Did not watch that one. What was that one even about?
It's basically setting up a Yuri harem, like an overt Yuri harem, not like a, you know, oh, this is just a nice girl and all the girls happen to really like her. No, there's one that's like, we're dating now. She's just like,
wait,
what?
This is like the Watari, like, wait, which one are you talking about?
There's no way I'm freaking, hold on, what's the English?
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the one that had like the censors in the title.
No, that's someone's dick is about to collapse or whatever the fuck.
okay. Oh no, yeah, no, that one's cute. My main reservation with that one is it reminds me a lot of Sing Me a Love Song, Whisper Me a Love Song or whatever the fuck.
With like
kind of a red flag.
Yeah, the what would that character archetype be called? The very kind of like
the
dashing.
Character designs look very similar.
Yeah, like the main love interest girl, the blonde one, has like a similar face to.
Oh, it's the same creator. That's why. Okay, that all makes sense.
It all comes together.
So, like, but this is a different studio, so the production will hopefully be handled better. But for me, that was just kind of like a red flag of like, oh no, I can see this collapsing already. Fuck.
There are not any red flags in that regard for me. It's just not super interesting.
No, I liked Bad Girl more, honestly. Yeah. Like, I think Bad Girl doesn't look as strong, but I like the character like dynamics and archetypes more.
It's just sillier.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, this is like, there's a little bit more kind of like interplay in Bad Girl where it's like they don't get immediately together. There's like this sort of like weird like miscommunication aspect to it, whereas like,
well, in Bad Girl she's like, I'm gonna be bad, and she puts like paper clips in her ears and razors on her shoes.
Yeah. And then her senpai is like getting her gifts but does not really understand what kind of gift she would want or like that would make sense. Whereas I think like in the No Freaking Way I'll Be Your Lover, there's some funny comedic bits, certainly, but they're not necessarily as, they don't really capture me quite as much. A lot of like the humor, the things that I find funny in it are like the silly expressions they make or certain kind of actions they do. A little bit more situational rather than character driven, it feels like.
It's kind of like a toned down Bocchi in a Yuri show.
Kinda, yeah.
Like if she were going over the top.
We'll get both. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, like the main one.
Yeah, but I didn't really like lean that much into it. as much as I would find like entertaining, I guess. I guess you could be like, oh, you need jingling keys in front of you. It's like a little bit. I don't know. In this case, a little bit. I need something. Maybe it's just because it's a romance. I don't know. It's a romance where the appeal of it is there are multiple girls after one girl. And I'm like, I don't care about that when it's multiple girls after one guy. It's just I need more. I need depth, and it's just not.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
we'll give both like another episode and kind of see. But overall, yeah, I'd say I prefer Bad Girl to this one in terms of Yuri harem shows, which is cool that we got two this season.
We almost had three, didn't we?
Whoa!
What was the third? There was like all three aired on the same day or something like that, right?
Maybe.
What did we watch? It was that Bad Girl. There was a third one.
No.
What the fuck? Oh no, it was a food court one. That's what it was.
Oh yeah. Food court. What else we watched? We watched Outcast. Oh god, Outcast Restaurant's so funny. I so badly want. Wait, are we watching another episode of that? No, I so badly wanted to watch one more episode of that just because, like,
we can watch another episode. It's like. I'm like the one person that is interested in watching another episode. Like, I'll probably just watch it myself. Dude.
It's so stupid.
It's like dumb, but it's like entertaining in a way where I'm like I understand like not wanting to watch it. Mind you, it's not like I'm pushing for us to keep watching. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of stupid. People shouldn't watch it.
I don't think it's utilizing its concept well at all. Cause it's like, oh, we have this restaurant. I'm like, oh, okay. It'll be cool. Story is just like, lighthearted fun about people coming into the restaurant. First episode, slavery. Second episode, rape. And it's like, oh, okay, fuck. And I think in the third episode, we're going to get goblin rape.
Goblin rape. It's like,
what the?
I think it's trying to do the thing. Fuck? Kind of what like Tokyo Ghoul did, where you like set these like extremes in juxtaposition to each other to like set up.
Did we barely see anything in the restaurant?
Well, I guess it's because it's like during the setup or whatever, right? Maybe it should balance it a bit better. But I think it's like setting up like the adventure. Being an adventurer is hard. There's a lot of like bad people out there that could ruin it or whatever. But you got this safe space. You got the outcast restaurant that you could come to where everybody knows your name.
Everybody knows your name. Again, this is like an episode of Cheers. Imagine like a regular in Cheers just comes in and sits down and it's like, I almost got raped yesterday. That was kind of crazy.
Guys over there is like cleaning the glass, like, uh-huh. Tell us more, Tim.
Tell me about it. Really? How'd that go for you? And it's like, well.
It was kind of wild, all right? Some guy came in a bag wearing those has a meat cleaver.
What was the bit that you had? It's just like describing like you almost getting raped to the waitress at Chili's.
Sir, could you please hurry up and fucking put your order in? I need to go back to work.
I just asked you if you wanted anything to drink.
Right when I was about to get the dick. They were taking off my pantaloons. And I was like, hold up. Wait a minute. Right at that moment, a gust of wind blew them to the wall.
Sir,
this is a Chili's.
Sir, there are children sitting in the booth next to you. Please.
I was just staring at you. Hey, I'll take a cheeseburger.
I don't think you can give me some of them pot stickers, you know what I'm saying?
Really like y'all's chips and salsa.
this episode of King of the Hill, Boomhauer.
I mean, to be fair, that is just a story that Boomhauer would tell and no one would understand what the fuck he said and no, just keep going on with their lives.
Instead of being horrified, the waitress at Chili's is just confused. She's like, what the fuck is he saying?
Dang, I went down to a dungeon with my party, man, and he would get me into such hard fun to do a paralyzed spell, man. And everyone was crazy, man.
He's like literally just describing like a fantasy story.
You and your crazy stories, Boomhauer.
You and your crazy stories, Boomhauer. Oh god. Now, what the fuck else was there this season?
The food court one's kind of the food court one is basically just a podcast.
It really is. It really is. Like if we do a video this season, that is just gonna be the bit. It's like, oh, this is just a podcast. This is just us talking. Which it's interesting because again, that's also only six episodes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I would want to continue it if it was 12, because it's very simple. And I'm
I don't know. I'm enamored with it because it's like that's such a bold creative decision. I would honestly like people would say it's lazy, but honestly, no. If you're setting your entire show in a single setting and it's just two girls talking in like one location, like literally just sitting at a table and talking, that is incredibly hard to like think of like new things to do and new ways to present stuff visually.
Yeah.
So for me, that, like, that's why I'm watching it, basically. It's like, how are they actually putting this together and making it, like, visually engaging in any capacity? And I think they do a decently good job at it. Also, yeah, the fact that it's only six episodes, it's like, all right. Merciful.
No, I'm on board. It is very funny. I think it only works, though, because it has, animation and visuals to it. Because if this were a podcast, I would not give a fuck.
Well, I don't understand Japanese. No, I would not. Why would I listen to a podcast? Well, no,
like, even if you, like, it was in English, like, I would not give a fuck. Because it's just, like, inane sort of, like, next-level discussion. It's not like, I dyed my hair. Eh, no way. Or, like, they kind of make fun of in the first episode.
Oh, it's like, I've talked about, like, I realized the reason I don't like Lucky Star is Lucky Star is basically, like, a podcast that I have no interest in listening to. And someone on Discord made a very interesting point that, like, in Lucky Star, the conversations are very, like, focused on a very specific thing, whereas in this, they are even more, like, pointless and meandering and just kind of talking about nothing.
Yeah.
It's, like, really, like, just mundane bullshit, which kind of makes it more interesting to listen to. It's very naturalistic. It's just kind
of
like,
yeah, we're still a lot of like Joshiraku or something, because Joshiraku would do that too, but Joshiraku was very like biting in his commentary when it would talk about stuff.
That one was like, so Joshiraku is incredibly like cynical and bitter. This is like, it's exactly what you would expect two high school girls to talk about: food and social media and nothing. I made the joke that it's like, oh my god, it's Dinner with Andre the anime.
They are in a food court. Yeah. They are eating like KFC and shit.
Oh yeah, there is just a literal KFC that is, it's just blatant product placement, which is funny. What was there was another show that came out like a few years ago. Hold on, I'm trying to remember what the fuck this was now, but it also had like podcast energy. Was it?
There was like a 2020? Podcast anime.
No. Well, yeah, there was a literal podcast anime, but no, this is like, it's a, it was a guy. It was a supernatural show, and it was a guy talking to this girl, Inspector. Inspector also had strong podcast vibes. I only watched like the first episode, but it was literally just the main two characters for most of it, just sitting on a bench and talking. And it was a lot of fun.
I hardly know her. But
I'm not gonna watch that. But yeah, Food Court's fun. It's a nice show.
We've rounded out the, I was gonna say trifecta. I don't know if there's really a trifecta. We've completed the circle. We got an Yashike this season.
Oh my god, we did.
Yeah, the slice of life is officially back, baby. We got cute girls doing cute things down. Now we got the Yashike, the with you in the rain.
We've been getting a lot of Tanuki propaganda recently.
Yeah, we did just watch that episode of Yaiba that had Tanuki in it, didn't we?
Yeah, and that Tanuki's in it, and last season had Apocalypse Hotel. What's going on with the Tanuki? All right. But this Tanuki doesn't talk. Guys, are Tanuki controlling the media? What is going on? it's like an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, but you just replace like the Jews with Tanukis.
That's what they did after Ponpoko.
That would be like an awesome concept for a movie. It's like Tanukis are controlling the Tanuki deep state.
this is Alex Jones.
The Tanukis are all in the media. They're controlling the narrative. You can't tell because they all disguise themselves as people. Well, trust me, all right. Why do you think now in the 2020s we're now seeing a resurgence in Tanukis in anime?
There's just like a scene where fucking Alex Jones goes to the Bohemian Grove and like one of the people is a Tanuki and like accidentally like transforms in front of him. Alex Jones, look, the Tanukis are real. And like the Tanuki looks at him, transforms back.
There's like the little like puff of smoke.
This is fun.
This show is really stupid though. It's like you say it's an Yashiki. The premise is so dumb.
It's not that, like, she's kind of dumb, but like the premise is not stupid. It's just like she adopts like a dog, and everyone's like, that's clearly not a dog. That's clearly a tanuki. And she's just like, oh, I just found this dog, and the dog is talking and with draw. Or, like, sorry, not talking, writing stuff down and being like, I am not a tanuki. I am a dog. Right? I'm a dog.
I am dog.
Dog. Inu. Inu.
But it's incredibly wholesome and relaxing.
Yeah, it's funny because like it even like starts talking. For those who aren't to know, whenever this fucking apocalypse video goes up, tanukis often are talking about like identity and stuff when they're talking about in stories, because they transform into people, and so an element of the story is to root out who's a real person or whatnot. And they even touch upon that in this, which was like kind of funny, where she's like, ah, meeting you makes me wonder where you came from, and it kind of makes me wonder where I came from. this is perfect Yashike bait.
You see, the Tsunukis are injecting what the fuck is it? Identity politics into our anime now, because you see, the Tsunuki are actually a metaphor for identity. So that's why
the Tsunukis are behind the woke movement.
The woke movement. Is it a lizard people? It's just tanuki.
They dyed their hair blue to hide the leaves.
That's like a conspiracy theory that I would honestly just expect to see in Dandadan, honestly. Like, that's gonna be an arc. they kill a bunch of tanuki that are like running the world government.
It's kind of the opposite of that, but it's kind of close to like Uchojin Kazuku, where there's like a whole cabal of people that hunt down tanukis to eat them. The hot pot
club.
Oh my
god. Yeah, sometimes I forget the tanuki are just real animals.
Yeah, they are real. They're raccoon dogs. That's why he's a dog.
There's a thing that exists. It's not a mythological creature. It's just a tanuki. It's just a fucking tanuki. Like in the Japanese. I think I also forget, like, oh, Japan also has monkeys.
Are they gym partners in Japan or no?
No, they just live in the woods. Oh. They live in the forest. Yeah.
What's that one show that was like surprisingly good that nobody is talking about? It's like Deccan or something.
Oh, Deccan no Moguera.
Yeah, Deccan no Moguera. That I was caught off guard by that too. I was like, holy shit, this looks fucking cool. No one is talking about this. Fucking visually it kind of looks like a Gegege no Kitaro kind of show.
I think it's kind of going for that kind of vibe, because it has like that kind of like horror mystery but also like dry comedy like aspect to it.
Yeah, the comedy I feel like is very in line with my sense of humor, where it's like they're college students and like also in like the literature program, I guess. So like they make jokes and references like, ah, oh, this fucking guy read No Longer Human and somehow became more human or something. Like, what a fucking asshole. And it's like, the humor is funny. This is like probably the funniest show as far as like sense of humor aligning with my sense of humor anyway. This season to me anyway. Him getting hit in the head by a book and then just like, no, don't call an ambulance. I can't afford it. They're like, no, we got to call an ambulance. Oh, this man he's had brain damage. He keeps saying things that don't make, no, you don't get it. I don't have the money. If you call an ambulance, you're paying for it. Like, it was just up my alley as far as its humor. The fact that it's only got like 13,000 people on MAL is kind of crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a show that I think is promoted very widely and doesn't really have particularly broad appeal.
Yeah,
just also not adapting to anything that's very popular.
Yeah.
But then I think in terms of like straight comedies this season, there's also the detective show. Where the fuck is
crazy
it?
These days, aren't they?
Where the fuck is it on this goddamn list? Wait, there it is. Which you brought up the Kana Hanazawa performance earlier, and yeah, this is a Kana Hanazawa show for the ages for sure.
I did not know it was Kana Hanazawa. Like, this is probably the first time I've like watched a show with her in it and wasn't immediately like, is that Kana Hanazawa? Like,
no, it's a very like, it,
It's a very gremlin kind of energy performance from the one she usually kind of like usually gives.
Yeah. She has a lot of gremlin energy. Like, she does a lot of the fucking weird goofy voices, like
as opposed to, like, I don't know, like the kind of like Nautica princess like demeanor she usually has.
Yeah, like the Nautica performance, or
yeah here it's a lot more like compromised gremlin energy, which I don't know, I've never seen Gintama, but this is how I imagine Gintama based on how it's been described to me. A very aggressive comedy, which, again, I'm fine with. I like jokes that are just people yelling. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I think we'll probably end up continuing it.
Yeah, it's kind of compromised. Oh,
yeah, Hinamatsu. Yeah, it reminded me a lot of Hinamatsu.
I see that more. It is very kind of compromised visually, production-wise. It is not the greatest.
No, I would say it looks really good, honestly. I think the things that you say look compromised are like deliberate aesthetic decisions, whereas like I would say the show overall looks really good in terms of like direction and animation and like the kind of gags that they do.
I think they handle it well, like the limitations they have well. I think it is like not I think it's I agree with you that it's deliberate. I think it's deliberate in like, oh, this is how you can best have this without compromising the aesthetic of it. But I don't think it is like intentional, like in the sense that if they had unlimited budget, it probably would not look the same. Unlimited budget, limited time, whatever, limited resources, it probably would not look quite it would look similar but not the same. Like it would have a step up in a way that, like, because I think a lot of people were saying like they thought the first episode looked worse. I don't necessarily agree. I just think the direction and pacing was better in the second episode. I think it kind of covered up the same things that people were seeing in the first episode a bit better because it was better kind of executed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is very jank, I guess is the word.
I don't know. I think like the janks fits the tone perfectly.
I mean, I don't disagree. I think it's funny. I think it adds to it in a way, but it's just, I wouldn't say it's in spite of it, but it is.
I don't know. For me, it's like it's certain kinds of comedies work best in like that sort of like, you know, two camera setup that, you know, like with you know, like that Seinfeld kind of look to it, and then other kinds of comedies work better with a little bit more like of a dynamic framing. I don't think it's necessarily like a matter of like good or bad. I think it's working very well to capture a certain kind of style and a certain kind of aesthetic.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I also thought that